Hi, thank you. Can you hear me okay? Wonderful. Yes, my name is pronounced Deanna. Thank you for that introduction. It's good to be here with you. Well, I'm here for 4 weeks, an hour each Sunday, and I'm looking forward to sharing. I was actually in Regina's session on Tuesday night. It was the gentle healing hour. And I really enjoyed that hour because there was a verse from A Course in Miracles that was mentioned a few times that I really resonated with. And the verse is, "Truth will correct all errors in my mind." And actually, that's really another way to say how I've described this mini series this month. As was mentioned, the mini series I titled "The Fragrance of Peace Can Be Fully Trusted," and the inquiry that arises when it is. And that verse in A Course in Miracles, "Truth will correct all errors in my mind," is really, it's saying that it's not just truth that will correct all errors in my mind. It's the knowing of truth, the self-knowledge, because truth always is. But unless we know the truth, the errors or the misperceptions continue. So this awakening, this discovery is about coming to know the truth in our own experience directly. And as we know the truth, then this knowing is what then sees through all misperceptions in our mind. And so my title is actually just expanding or just saying that a different way. My title, The Fragrance of Peace, and by that I mean the sensing of peace, the sense of peace, this inner well-being can be fully trusted as the truth of who we are, as our natural state. And when we get a sense that that inner peace is our natural state, then the inquiry to see through those errors or misperceptions in our mind become very clear and focused, or they can become very clear and focused as we more fully trust this sense of peace. I have to say, I'm actually getting over a cough, so I may be sucking on a cough drop or drinking some ginger tea during this hour, so just to be aware of that. But as we trust this sense of inner peace as the truth of what we are, as the truth of our natural state, and then we feel this discontent or dis-ease, this kind of inner contraction that comes up, then we can more clearly and more quickly recognize it as false. And one thing that in my own process that was very significant was when I clearly saw that all the negativity that I continued to feel for quite a while, even after the shift of understanding, this inner sense of wholeness revealed itself to me. whenever there was a sense of disconnect or like a veiling that came on, I saw that at the core of all the thoughts that I was identifying with, there was a root belief that showed itself. At first, what happens often is we look at each and every belief. Oh, I'm believing that my boss shouldn't have said that. I'm believing that my partner doesn't understand me. Or I'm believing that it shouldn't be raining. And that belief is creating the sense of disconnect. But what if we go deep enough, or if we go deeper into what we're actually believing, we're believing that there is something lacking in this moment, and that our sense of self is somehow incomplete and lacking, that our sense of self is somehow dependent on something out there, that our sense of wholeness is conditional. So we can look at that and ask the question very simply and pointedly, is there now anything lacking? Is my sense of self dependent on anything? Is this sense of wholeness conditional, or is it full right now? And so rather than looking through each and every belief, you know, at the surface type, the surface kind of belief, we can see that there is a fundamental underlying belief that's holding that false conditioned sense of self together. And that root belief is the belief in lack, that there is actually something wrong in this moment. There is actually something wrong with either us or life. Whenever we feel that there's something lacking in life, we feel as if we're lacking. Whenever we feel as if there's something lacking in us, we feel that life is lacking. They go together because we're actually not separate from life. So when we look at our judgments of life, our interpretations of life, and we let go of them, we just relax them, we can just let the thoughts be, but we don't have to identify with them. So we just let those thoughts be, and when we relax our judgments of life, then we feel open, free, at peace. And as I mentioned, it goes the other way. When we relax our judgments of ourselves and we're just simply open, the thoughts can come and they can go, but we're no longer believing them. So we relax those judgments or those thoughts of ourselves, and then life feels open and free, that we're not judging life. So the inquiry becomes very focused and pointed when we begin to trust the fragrance of peace, the sense of peace, as our very nature. And as as that verse in the Course of Miracles mentions, truth will correct all errors in my mind. And I also like that that verse doesn't make mind out to be a problem or something, or even something that we have to fix. No, it's not really mind. And mind I often use as synonymous with consciousness or an aspect of consciousness, because it's not mind or consciousness. It's we could say the misperceptions that we, consciousness, have about what we are or what life is. And so we as we look, as we, consciousness, look out directly and sense life directly rather than through the filters of our beliefs and interpretations, then we sense back our very nature. As I really like that quote from Saint Francis when he says, what we are looking for is where we are looking from. And Wu Xing actually says the same thing a bit differently. He says, one cannot look at the mystery. One can only look from the mystery, because one is the mystery. So it's as we, consciousness, look or see or perceive directly, then we sense our nature. But when we, consciousness, look and perceive through our conditioning, through our beliefs, through all these interpretations that we have taken on, then what we're actually feeling back is just that conditioned sense of self, that false sense of self. And that false sense of self is not really a false self or a false actual self. It's just a sense of self. It's just an impression that we have of ourself. So it's not like the ego is an actual thing that we have to get rid of, or you know, that's our enemy or a problem. It's just an impression, a misperception of ourself, that we are in the moment believing to be true. And this false sense of self is just a sense of lack, this sense of lack, or that there's something missing or wrong with us, or wrong with life, that we need something additional than what is right now. So whenever we feel that sense of lack, and that our sense of self is, that sense of well-being is somehow conditional on something out there, we can just ask the question and then sense back into what actually is right now, when we're not taking on any belief, when we're not filtering life, but when we're perceiving or sensing life directly. So I'd like to ask now if there's any questions or comments. Okay. All right, let's see if I could do this now. Okay, I'm going to hand over the mic.
Good job. Good job handing over the mic. I have a question because you know how everyone uses words a little differently. And I heard you say, first of all, I think one thing I know about you, if I'm not confused and not the others that are listening might not know it, so it might be good to put it out there. If I remember correctly, you were a Christian missionary for a time. And I know that a lot of people from the Christian tradition specifically often use the word mind and the word consciousness in a synonymous way. And in fact, A Course in Miracles, which you heard us looking at the other night, it uses mind and consciousness sort of in a synonymous way. Some of the New Thought teachings use mind and consciousness in a synonymous way. But as you probably know, the Hindu teachings tend to refer to mind as just thought, and consciousness as that which thought is contained within, I guess would be a good way of putting it. And one of the things that was in your description was about how mind is not the problem. And of course, you just spoke very, very briefly about that, you know, when you said that mind is consciousness. So I don't want to take you off track from where you are, but I didn't know if you wanted to speak a little bit more about mind not being the problem or mind being synonymous with consciousness. And what about thought itself? What about getting caught up in our thinking? So I was just looking for a little bit of clarity there on how you see all of that. Thank you very much, Deanna.
Thank you, Regina. I wasn't aware that those who come from a Christian background often use mind and consciousness synonymously. That's very interesting. But to me, making anything a problem is not very clear. Because there really is no problem. It's just when we identify with thought, there's an impression of a problem. We create the sense of a problem. And it's not even thought. I know sometimes, even the way we talk, it sometimes makes it seem like thought is the problem. Like we might say, Oh, my mind is such a problem. My mind is racing. But what we mean by that is thought is racing. Thought is racing. But when we say mind is a problem, what we mean too is it's really identification with thought, or even my mind is racing. Our mind can race, our mind can have a lot of thoughts, but if we don't identify with the thoughts, if we don't believe our thoughts, they do tend to slow down. But then we, in coming to sense our own nature, our true nature, then what happens in the inquiry is we kind of look at objects, we look at thoughts and feelings, and we become clear about what they actually are. So we're no longer resisting them, fearing them. We no longer look at them as a problem also. It's almost as if when we know our own nature, we want to know the nature of everything, even thoughts and feelings. When we don't know who we are, we take our thoughts and feelings personally. We believe them to be personal. We believe them to be true information about who we actually are. When we know our own nature, however, then that personal feel to thoughts and feelings begins to drop away. And then, but we still might get caught up in them from time to time. So then it's very helpful to then kind of lean in and look, what is a feeling? And it's simply an appearance that can come and go freely. And we begin to have a different type of relationship, so to speak, with thoughts and feelings, which then allows us to know, to sense, and to express more of our own freedom as we allow thoughts and feelings to be free. We enjoy more of our freedom. And then what also unfolds is that we see that thoughts are wonderful creative tools that we as consciousness can use to create and enjoy and celebrate life. So there's a whole different aspect to thoughts and even feelings. What we actually sense that can unfold as we become more loving and towards thoughts and feelings. One other thing that I wanted to talk about is this aspect of meditation and how sometimes when we have a formal meditation and we come to sense peace, what can happen is that we believe that it's the activity that has revealed or sometimes maybe even created our true self, our true sense of self. And so what's very helpful is to bring the meditation out of off the cushion, off the seat, into our daily life. And by meditation, I also mean inquiry, like we're inquiring into our very nature. When we're doing chores, particularly when we're doing things that don't require us to think, if we're writing a paper at work or doing research, that's not really a very good time to inquire unless there are pauses in that. But when we're doing chores that don't require thought, like vacuuming or driving or taking a shower. And we're just interested in what is true? What is now true? What is my true sense of self? We can even just ask the question, what is now here? And sense into that. So we're taking the inquiry or the meditation, and we're not linking it to a specific activity, like I need to meditate in order to sense my true nature. There's nothing wrong with meditating. As you know, if somebody enjoys meditating, that's wonderful. But to also bring it off the cushion, off the seat, into daily life, so that we get a sense that I always am what I am, not just when I'm meditating, but when I'm vacuuming, when I'm listening to somebody speak, when I'm walking in nature, when I notice the pauses between my thoughts. I am what I am. There is well-being now. I once heard of a man who actually had a profound awakening as he was turning a doorknob. I don't remember any background on him, if he was doing meditation for a while or even if he was interested in spirituality. But I just remember that when he turned the doorknob, he had a profound awakening. And I seriously doubt that he attributed that activity of turning the doorknob with what caused or revealed his true nature. As far as I know, he didn't start a school or start a practice turning doorknobs. But in the moment of turning the doorknob, he was open. There was no resistance in that moment. He was just fully open to then sense what always is. And he was conscious of what he was sensing. Often what happens is everybody has moments of peace and well-being throughout the day when we're walking in nature or looking at the night sky. But what often happens is we don't realize that that peace is actually our very nature that we're sensing. We attribute it to something out there, the walk in nature, when we fall in love, we think the other person is the cause of peace. So that sensing of peace is not conscious. So that's why we continue to seek for it. But when we have, as that man did who turned the doorknob, when we have a sense of peace and we know it's our very nature, that changes, that has the potential to really shift our understanding if we trust it and if we continue to inquire when we feel as if it's gone. What happens sometimes is that when people have a profound awakening, but then it seems to be gone, they don't trust what they have discovered. They wait until another awakening experience, so-called awakening experience, comes. So they don't inquire. They don't They don't trust what has already been discovered. And this is very unfortunate because this discovery will not force itself on us. We have to be interested enough and take the time to really confirm it again and again until we have this stable knowing that it is what we are. Are there any other questions or comments? One other way I like to talk about our true sense of self is with the concept of natural. I like to use that word. It's our natural state, our natural sense of self. Because what's natural feels comfortable. It feels like home. Natural state. We're not stressed. We're not uncomfortable. We're at ease. We're not concerned about what others may think. Even if there's long silences between my words and I, for a time, don't feel like I want to say anything. But just to feel comfortable with that, it's so freeing. And that's natural. That's our natural way of being. There's no lack in that. Even if I mess up my words, I know that my true self is not diminished in any way. There could be humor in that, being on an hour-long program and not having much come to my mind to say. So our natural state, as we relax more into it, there's more and more freedom just to be ourself, which is not always perfect. Our the source, the absolute, is expressing as these human expressions that have been conditioned in a lot of different ways. And as we know ourselves more as source, as consciousness, then these human expressions relax more. And as these human expressions of consciousness relax more, we then know ourselves more clearly as the absolute. It kind of works in a spiral, like both ways. As we relax back into and as source, then these human expressions of consciousness relax more, and the understanding integrates more fully into the human expression. And then as the human expression relaxes more and this understanding integrates more into the human expression, then we more fully know ourself as source. So it goes both ways. And that's why if we only place emphasis on ourself as source or the absolute and then dismiss this expression of source, these human expressions of source, it's not, in my experience anyway, it's not full. Because I, in this process of coming to know who I am more fully, this human expression of consciousness and the relaxing of it plays a very integral role. And I'm wondering if this resonates with anybody or if you have any questions or comments. Okay, I see somebody commented that it resonates. Thank you, Regina. Yes. That verse, yes, Larry has his hand up. Okay, I'll turn the mic over to Larry.
Thank you kindly. I might mispronounce your name. It looks like Diana, and I could be mispronouncing that. I just came in from grocery shopping and just came in and put my bike away and tuned in to the radio to see what's going on. And I hear your peaceful, authentic, from the heart speaking, and I am moved to stillness by listening to you. So do you resonate? Amen. You resonate throughout the entire universe. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you very much. Whoops.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Yes, I wanted to mention another aspect of that verse in A Course in Miracles. Truth will correct all errors in my mind. And as I look at my own process of how truth has corrected more errors in my mind, one of the errors initially was that I'm a victim and that the problem is out there. But then another error showed itself as that I'm the problem. When I stopped blaming others out there, then for a time I was blaming myself and went on a self-improvement path, trying to improve myself. But then I found, after the shift of understanding, I found that no, that's an error too. That who I actually am is whole already. And it's not that I need to be healed, but it's just my perception of what I'm taking myself to be needs to be healed, and what I'm taking others to be healed also, as I more fully relaxed in myself, I no longer felt that others were other than or separate from what I am. Another misperception was that I felt for some time that I had no choice. I had no choice in the suffering. I didn't know a way out. After the shift of understanding, and I saw clearly that my suffering was created whenever I identified with thoughts, then I began to see the choice that I had to either identify and feel as if I'm lacking, or allow my thoughts to just be and sense what I truly am. And I saw that gradually, I saw that as a very clear choice, and a choice that was significant. I didn't wait for some big mystical experience. The shift for me, although profound, wasn't a mystical event. There were no angels or visions. It was just a clear understanding that all is well. I am whole already. But even though there was that clarity, there was so much momentum behind my conditioning that I felt often during the day stressed, lacking. But I was so tired of suffering that I inquired. I wanted to know whether this true sense of self was permanent, ever present, and so I was interested in looking and finding out. I didn't wait for, as I mentioned, a mystical experience, even though in the back of my mind I thought that's what I probably needed to blast all this conditioning out of my system. But I didn't believe that thought because it didn't alter my activities. It didn't alter my inquiry. So I didn't wait. If I had believed that thought that I need a mystical experience to blast all conditioning out, then I would have waited and I wouldn't have inquired. So my inquiry gradually clarified things in my own mind, and my thoughts slowed down as I stopped believing them. There were more gaps between them, and this deeper, more consistent sense of self revealed itself. I saw clearly that it always is, but identification is what was veiling it. And gradually, as we trust this peace and stabilize in the knowing that this is our natural state, then what reveals itself is that even if we're not sensing our true nature, we always are what we are. We always are whole, complete, without any lack, even if we're sensing some discomfort or stress. So the stabilization of the knowing of who we are, then doesn't allow for any confusion to come in when we sense periods of that, of the false sense of self. We don't even feel it or look at it anymore as a false sense of self. We just, because it's, we see that it's not personal. So there might be periods of stress or fear that come up, but we don't see it as personal anymore because we know who we are. But that understanding, that level of clarity, often comes after we stabilize in the sense of ourself, the true sense of ourself, our true nature. I see that I have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to mention a few things. If people have any questions, I know there may be some people listening that are not in the chat room. If you have any questions for next week, please email them to me at deannastanley@gmail.com. And it's likely that next week I'll speak a bit more about the difference between belief and direct experience, and possibly talk a bit about the integration process that unfolds after we discover and stabilize in our true sense of self. And by this integration process, I mean it's more of a inner harmonizing between what we understand and what we sense and how we express ourselves. I often share about and write about these three dimensions of the human experience: our understanding, our sensing, and our expressing. And it's when these aspects of the human are, or this expression of consciousness, that's what I mean by the human being, this expression of consciousness. I'm not talking about a person that we're taking as separate. This expression of consciousness, we come to, as we integrate, as this understanding integrates, this the human being, in a sense, harmonizes within itself and as one with life itself. So there's more of a flow. It's as if life source can more fully flow through its expressions as these aspects of this human expression harmonize. It's when our understanding is in conflict with our what we sense, and what we sense is in conflict with what how we express ourselves, that this disconnect and this sense of lack plays itself out. So I'll most likely speak more about that next week. And I also wanted to mention that my ebook, my book as an ebook is on sale for 99 cents. So that's a good deal if you have a Kindle. Well, I wanted to thank everybody for, I see you're sharing your words, telling me that you resonate with what I'm saying. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to turn the mic over and I'll be back next week. Thank you.